We praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou livest us, we filled with thee. Thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Surely God has done many mighty things for his people throughout the ages, as when he dried up the Red Sea for them to walk through as they escaped from Egypt. But to us, Christ is also the arm of Jehovah, releasing us and rescuing us from our captivity. Today's broadcast again brings us to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and one of those classic presentations by Witness Lee that goes far beyond the mere outward study of the events in the book and peels back layer after layer to reveal the marvelous Christ in these rich passages of the Old Testament. Dick Taylor is here with us again, and Dick, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Chris. It's really good to be here to enjoy this marvelous Christ.
Dick, you and I were commenting after we finished the program the other day that these messages from Isaiah demonstrate in a very significant way just what we mean when we present a life study from the Bible, and in this case, Isaiah. Would you elaborate just a bit on the point that we were discussing the other day?
This ministry really does bring us to life. It's called a life study, which means that it is a study really of Christ, who is the divine and eternal and uncreated and indestructible life. It's not a study of just many things, items, matters, and places, but eventually this study brings us to nothing and no one but the all-inclusive Christ. And these last chapters of Isaiah, the last half of this book, or the second section, the last 26 chapters, we just see item after item of Christ, who is the servant of Jehovah. He is the all-inclusive Christ, and he is the one who is right now within us, believing Christians, within us as our very life. This is a treasure.
Dick, we're going to join Witness Lee now for a brief introduction. This is a little bit out of our normal form, but his opening word here is going to give a very good introduction to where we're going in our life study today. Let's join Witness Lee from Isaiah 51 and 52.
We have a message on 3 points of Christ being the servant of Jehovah, as the arm of Jehovah, the reigning God, and the exalted Christ. The arm of Jehovah, the reigning God, and the exalted Christ. These 3 items all are Christ being as the servant of Jehovah. Christ as the servant of Jehovah in Isaiah, occupying 26 chapters, is mainly for Israel to return. Why? Because when these 26 chapters were written in prophecy, they were destined to be scattered.
Dick, 26 chapters of the book of Isaiah are devoted to Christ as the servant of Jehovah in relation to Israel's release, return, and restoration. Surely, Dick, this is Israel's need, but it's also our need as well. We need to be released, returned, and restored, don't we?
We sure do. So in this broadcast, we get a lot of help as to how to experience this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ related to our release, our return, and our being restored to Christ himself.
Well, let's rejoin Witness Lee for our first section today, and then we'll be back with some more fellowship.
To be captured, to be exiled from the fatherland to some foreign lands, to suffer there. So, under such a condition, What condition? A condition of exile. Under such a condition, they need Christ as a servant of God to serve them. In what way? To serve them, to bring them back, for them to return. Plus, they need the service to restore them. When those, Israel, were scattered, captured, and stayed in Babylon for 70 years, at that time, suppose you were there, one of them, how do you feel? As a captive in Babylon, you need the release plus return. Release, return. Is that all? What do you need? Restoration. After your return, you need restoration. Oh, your nation was devastated to the uttermost. It has become just a desolation. So there is a need of restoration. Isaiah has 26 chapters on Christ serving God elect to bring them back and to restore them.
Dick, in Isaiah 51:9, Christ as the arm of Jehovah is the strength of Jehovah, and this strength is put on like a garment. Israel, just like us, needed the arm of Jehovah for their return and restoration. What is it, Dick, to put on the arm of Jehovah?
Isaiah's cry, arise, arise, put on strength, O arm of Jehovah, arise in the days of old, was his prayer that the arm of Jehovah, that is Jehovah himself, that is Christ, would again release them, cause them to return, and restore them out of the captivity that Israel was in after Nebuchadnezzar and the others had come in and destroyed everything and taken all the children of Israel into captivity. So your question, Chris, is what is it to put on the arm of Jehovah? Israel, in the olden times, they needed to get redeemed because they were in a sinful situation. So they had the blood of the Lamb in Egypt. They also needed strength. So this matter of the arm of Jehovah really has two aspects when it comes to experience. Number one is they needed to eat the Lamb. They ate the Lamb in order to have strength to walk out of the land of Egypt in which they were under tyranny. And they also needed a great miracle when they got to the Red Sea to get through the Red Sea and to the other side. This is together, I would say, the arm of Jehovah. Because it says, put on strength like a garment. Well, what does this mean to us today? Today, we need to be those who enjoy Christ and who open to him and who take him as our strength and even as the very arm of Jehovah in many cases to deliver us in a miraculous way. And I appreciate again that we are in the life study of Isaiah. God is offended and actually he's hurt. If we would merely pray in this kind of way, Lord, give me strength. Lord, deliver me. No, the Lord's desire is that we Christians would pray in this way. Lord, be my strength. Lord, be the arm of Jehovah to me. The Lord wants to be everything to us. God doesn't want to just give things or do things in an outward way. He wants us to enjoy his all-inclusive Son as everything. So our need today is just like Israel in those days. We need to be released, we need to be returned, and we need to be restored to this wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. May we learn to pray, Lord, be my strength to deal with this situation. Lord, be my arm that I might be delivered from this situation. Then the Lord has a way to bequeath himself, to will himself to us. He wants to be everything to us. He just needs us to be the happy inheritors of all that he is by saying, Lord, thank you for being my strength. Lord, thank you for being the arm of Jehovah to deliver me in this perilous and hopeless situation. We can put him on like a garment by this kind of prayer.
Dick, that's marvelous. The difference may seem subtle as praying, Lord, give me strength.
Right.
Give me deliverance or deliver me, as opposed to, Lord, be my strength, be my deliverance.
Amen.
As I say, it may seem subtle, but it's really Very profound, isn't it?
Very profound. And isn't it good that we could be brought to this Christ as everything in God's move, in God's economy, in the life study of Isaiah, written 700 years before Christ? This is too wonderful.
Dick, this is wonderful. Let's return to Witness Lee.
The first portion covered by this message is on Christ, the servant of Jehovah, as the arm of Jehovah. Now, this is covered in chapter 51, verses 9 to 11. The arm of Jehovah. We all know the whole Bible indicates that the arm means the strength of Jehovah. Who is the strength of Jehovah? Who is the righteousness of Jehovah?
Christ.
Who is the wisdom of Jehovah?
Christ.
Who is the light of Jehovah?
Christ.
Who is the life of Jehovah?
Christ.
Very good. Now, who is the strength of Jehovah?
Christ.
That's Christ. Christ as the arm of Jehovah. So here says, arise, arise, and put on strength, and do something, as you did in the past, especially in the Exodus out of Egypt. The first block they met was the Red Sea. Behind them, Pharaoh's army was chasing. No return, but in front, the Red Sea. What shall they do? They didn't do nothing, but you did. You did something. You blew the water, and the water was cleft. And dry land showed up. And they walked in the sea as in the dry land. So today, you need to do the same thing. That your captivity will be brought back. Do something like this. Who is this? Christ. The all-inclusive Christ. Do you all know that in the Isaiah prophecy, Christ has a name, which is called the Arm of Jehovah. Not only in this chapter, in the following chapter, Isaiah shouted, to whom the arm of Jehovah? Who is that? That's Christ. You got to know another name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the arm of Jehovah. Jehovah definitely denotes the triune God. Definitely denotes the great I am. The I am that I am. He is too many items. He is the arm to save. Now we come to the reigning God. Here in 51, he says, your God reigns. This is the great tidings. This is the good news. This is the announcement of peace. What the good news by that day? When they all return, then the sounding goes out. Your God reigns. Your God reigns. Do you think for God to reign on this earth is a small thing? Today, who reigns? Many nations. On the top, you have United Nations. They reign. We couldn't see God reigns. But that day, when they exiled Israel, will return to their father's land. And the watchman shouted, your God reigns. This is a real great tidings, good news to the returned Israel. Maybe they will be short of lodging. They will be short of rain. They will be short of anything, all things. But when they hear this voice, your God reigns, we all have to dance. As long as our God reigns among us, we don't need to worry about anything. He reigns, he supports. He reigns, he supplies. He reigns, he provides. He gives you the food. He would say, I reign, come and eat. Under my reign, there's no scarce of food. It is a good news, good tidings of peace and salvation. As long as you have peace plus salvation, we are just suffice.
Dick, a word of genuine comfort is this word in Isaiah 52, verse 7. The glad tidings announced. The good news is that God, our God, is the one who reigns. That means that there's no scarcity, no lack, just a bountiful supply of everything we need. There are still a lot of people that don't have such a comfort, do they, Dick?
That's true. And we must pray for all of them, that they would enjoy the very Christ who is the reigning God. This phrase is tremendous. Your God reigns. When God is reigning, what is there? There's support, there's supply, there's provision. Like you used the word, the phrase, bountiful supply. There's joy, there's peace, there's satisfaction, and it's all because God is reigning. So our need today is to be those who enjoy this Christ, who is really the reigning God. The reigning God is Jesus Christ. And the need for those out there is the same need we have. We need this Christ. I want to be filled up with Him every day, pay attention to Him as the one who's reigning inside of my spirit and my heart. We want to be those who listen to Him as He reigns within us, as we go along with Him, mainly by saying, Amen. Allow Christ to reign in you. You will be so supported, so strengthened, so supplied, so full of joy, and so full of satisfaction. So I'd like to just conclude this point by just saying, what we need is this marvelous Christ, who is the very reigning God. Every need is met, and everything is in its proper order. I like Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have no want and no need. This is the reigning God.
Amen. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Israel today, they know Jehovah. They know the power of Jehovah. They know the strength of Jehovah. They know the arm of Jehovah. They know God in His power. They know God in His arm. But they don't know God in His New Testament type redemption. They don't know God becoming a man, dead and resurrected. And He now becomes a life-giving spirit to enter into His life and to dwell there as an indwelling spirit. So there is a need to reveal to them the New Testament Christ. This is the third item, the exalted Christ after His ascension to the heavens. Jesus has been acting wisely on this earth. In the book of Acts, that is not the acts of the apostles. That is the acts of Jesus in the heavens. Through the apostles in the spirit. We saw Jesus Christ is a great man. Big figure. Is this Jesus? The disfigured one? The marred one? Yes, this is He. If without being so, He could never save you. He could never be your substitute on the cross. Many were astonished at His being disfigured. Jesus surprised people. He surprised many. He surprised many nations. The kings will shut their mouths. This means the kings have some kind of regard of this Jesus. But when they really met Jesus, Jesus will tell them a lot of things as it is recorded in the New Testament. They imagine a great Jesus, but eventually they met a little Nazareth. How come such a great one could be put on the cross, crucified? So this will surprise them. For what had not been recounted to them, that means how Jesus became a man in two natures, the divine and the human. How He lived a life like that little Nazareth. How He died. He was crucified. How He was buried. How He was resurrected. How. All these things had never been recounted to them. But now they will see. And what they had not heard of, they will contemplate. They will understand. They will realize. In the future, after all the return, Israel return to their father's land, and restore it there, they will be told, charged, instructed, and directed to know Isaiah 53. Not just to know him as the arm of Jehovah, not just to know him as the reigning God, but to know him as the exalted Christ.
Amen.
The exalted Christ indicates he was humiliated in his incarnation, even in his daily living. For 32 and a half years, he was very much deceived, marred. Then he was brought to Calvary, outside of the city of Jerusalem, and he was crucified there for 6 hours. All these things they had to know.
Dick, I think that many Christians have a sense about Christ that matches what we just heard, though it's a hard thing to express. I'm talking about the apparent contradiction between Christ being exalted, even the exalted one, and yet he at the same time is the one that saved us by being so lowly, so humble, in a way even so small. How do we reconcile this apparent contradiction, Dick?
It's really good to put chapters 52 and 53 together. It's 52 that unveils Christ as the exalted Christ. But 53 unveils Christ as this small, lowly, even humiliated Jesus. Exaltation implies something. That Christ has been exalted indicates that, first of all, he was humiliated. Remember in Philippians 2, it says that this Christ, who was obedient unto death, even that the death of the cross, God has highly exalted him. So, first of all, he was the humiliated Jesus. In his incarnation, his human living, and his crucifixion, he really lived and took the way of the cross. In a sense, you could say he was the disfigured Jesus. He was not even that attractive to look at and despised. Even people heard about him, kings, and they come to see, is this him? Is this really the one? This seemingly nobody? This is Jesus. He's the humiliated one who was later exalted by God to the uttermost, and there's no one higher in the whole universe than Jesus is today. But his life on the earth was one of humiliation. If he hadn't lived such a life of humiliation and such a lowly life as a man on this earth, he could have never been our substitute on the cross. So we needed him as our wonderful judicial redeemer who shed his precious blood to bring us back to God, to release us and to restore us and to return us to God himself. So he had to be such a lowly Jesus. We've heard about Christ being the arm of Jehovah, and we've heard about him being the God who reigns. Now, how does this go together with him being the exalted Christ? The exalted Christ is a phrase that really leads us to the experience of the New Testament Christ. The New Testament revelation of Christ is not so much as the one who is this miraculous arm, just always delivering us in a miraculous way. Neither it's so much the revelation of just somebody who came to this earth and reigned like a king over everything. But the revelation of Christ in the New Testament is mainly of the one who was incarnated to be a lowly man, a humble person, humbling himself even to death, despised, forsaken, humiliated, but through his death and resurrection, highly exalted by God. This Jesus, it says in Acts 2:36, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. So for us particularly, who are believers today in Christ, we must realize the exalted Christ is really referring to the knowing of Christ according to the New Testament revelation. Eventually, as we follow him, we would follow the humiliated and despised and rejected Jesus in this age, and we love to follow this Jesus. Then eventually, we also would be exalted with him, and we will know him directly as the arm of Jehovah, and we'll know him directly as the God who reigns unceasingly for eternity. So our need today is to love and to follow this lowly, despised, forsaken, rejected, and humiliated Jesus. We're not here for our own glorification. We're here to follow the lowly, rejected, despised, and humiliated Jesus. In time, there will be a proper exaltation of all those who have been saturated and permeated and even glorified by Him. Hallelujah for such a Jesus, for such a marvelous Christ unveiled in Isaiah.
That was exactly what I was going to say, Dick. Those are my impressions as well.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.